Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Hansen Labasig, a professor of theology at the University of Santo Tomas in the Philippines. Hansen is the rare theologian, maybe the only Filipino theologian that is interested in studying the intersection of sport and Christian faith. His doctoral work focused on hope as a theological virtue in the athletic and spiritual lives of Filipino student athletes. We are so grateful to have Hansen on Sport Faith Life with us. So let's get started.
So excited to have Hansen Labasig with us today. Hansen, tell us about sport in your life.
Thank you for the invite, by the way, Chad, Brian. Well, if you talk about sports in my life, well, it really did not start really well. So I could still remember back when I was in grade school, I was only chosen because I was a big kid because of my size. So believe it or not, I was only chosen, and my only job was to shove some kids from the opposing team. That was the only job that I have. However, those changed when I reached in high school. Sports became a solitude for me. It is a place for me where I could be myself. It was also during that time that I think I developed a competitive attitude. And if I could still remember, back when I was in high school, it was also there that I trained with the school's varsity. So I really trained hard. However, it's sad to say that I was not really chosen to be at the final lineup. When I was in college, I entered a seminary. I was a seminarian, and it was really in the seminary that I really fell in love with sports in general. Not because I was chosen to be a member of the varsity team in the seminary that I entered, but because I saw in sports the important things that you really need in your life, like possibly like discipline, perseverance, trust, I think hope. Yeah. However, after my seminary years, I taught theology at the university. And in summers, even until now, I currently volunteer together with some professional coaches, basketball coaches here in the Philippines, as an assistant coach for young children in our community. So basically, if you will try to wrap it up, sports in my life became a place of solitude where I can be myself, and a place for me to develop virtues and habits needed in life. So I think that's it.
So we're talking, you're in the Philippines, and so
yeah.
We're talking about basketball, right?
And yes.
Sport there, that's great. Okay, I'm sure that will come up more in our conversation. Tell us a little bit about faith in your life now.
Well, faith in my life, just like I think the majority of Filipinos here in the Philippines, I am a cradle Catholic, I was born and raised as a Catholic. In my younger years, my parents would bring me to the church. And in my earlier years, in grade school, I think, I was introduced to a life of service to the church, in which I became an altar server when I was in grade school. So during school masses, during Sundays at my parish, I served as an altar server. And I think this was also the start of my interest. I mentioned a while ago that I entered the seminary. So this was also the start of my interest in entering into the seminary life. So in high school, after high school, I decided that I will be entering the seminary. And it was there that I really deepened my faith. However, one important thing that I think really influenced me, even until now, that I carry in my faith is that the notion that whatever will happen amidst all the sufferings, the hardships that will come in my life, I know that God loves me unconditionally, that He will not abandon me. So I think this simple discovery in my faith deepened my faith and changed me as a person. So, however, God called me to another vocation after my seminary years. I left the seminary on my own. I then taught theology in a university. And after a few years, I met my beautiful wife. I have two children now, beautiful children. So basically, my faith revolves around, I would say, service and the notion that God loves me unconditionally, no matter what happens. So that's it.
Well, that's a great story, Hanson. To culminate in meeting your lovely wife and to have two children now, pretty exciting. As much as there's hardship in life, there's blessing as well. Yes. And that's fantastic. Yes. Yeah. So I have been to the Philippines. It's been many, many years, but I'm sure, you know, all experiences are different. My experience was we were in a far northern section called Loag City. Then we would go out into many villages, and it was just surprised me how basketball would travel with us. It's amazing the number of people that would be interested in basketball. And I would be lacing up my, you know, Nike sneakers to go play, and I'm playing against these kids in flip-flops, and they are moving way better in flip-flops than I'm moving in, you know, high top basketball shoes. So I was just really impressed with the agility, but the agility in flip-flops was pretty amazing. Tell us something about your life that would help us get to know you, maybe something a little off the beaten path.
Okay, so good to know, you know, that you have been to the Philippines. And
I have been to the Philippines, yes.
And I hope you can, I hope you will come back.
Yeah, so, fantastic. I loved it. Yes. So jeepney rides were very bumpy, but other than that, it was fantastic.
Yeah. So maybe someday I will be inviting you again here. Let's play basketball. You, Chad, Brian. That's good.
I think the three of us could pull something off there. Let's do a 3-on-3 tournament there. We'll play. Yeah. Gus Macker, Philippines. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah,
I think we'll win. Okay. So, well, something unique about me, but if you will try to look at me, I really love sports. So basically, I love sports. I had, in the grade school, I grew up playing basketball. But I think what is unique about me is that I never grew up in a sports-oriented family. Unlike other children, unlike possibly other families in the U.S. and other parts of the country, they fell in love with sports because of their dad, because of their family, because of their possibly relatives. But for me, my family don't really want me to play sports. For me, I think I'm the only one in the family who plays sports. My parents were afraid of sports because they don't want me to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So even until now, I'm already 30 plus years old. My parents don't really want me to play sports. And I think now it becomes intense because I don't know if Chad have already messaged you, Brian, but I think I mentioned already that I just tore my ACL recently.
Oh, I did not hear that. I'm sorry about that. Your parents were right. I hate it when parents are right.
Yes. So basically, I'm still all the sports activities that right now is on pause, and I'm still recovering. I have tomorrow. I will be going to the hospital for my physical therapy. And my parents would always remind me, if I go to the hospital, see what we told you. But then again, I think that's me, no? I'm the black sheep in the family when it comes to interest. My parents my parents is always leaning to the academic side of life instead of sports. But then again, I fell in love with sports. And here am I today with a torn ACL, but really looking forward for next year to play basketball.
There we go. There we go. There are great recoveries from ACLs, right? People come back, but it does take some time.
Yeah.
So with a background that has very little interest in sport, like in terms of your family, somehow like God brought it into your life and you just had this odd passion that really generated from within you. I mean, it's genuinely within you because there was no encouragement from any of the family members. And now with this overlap of seminary and an academic life, tell me how those two go together in maybe your work and the things that you're interested in.
Well, actually, when I started this passion, as I call it, a passion project of mine, when I started this passion project of mine between the intersection of sports and faith in my research, I have so many doubts. Even some of my colleagues have doubts. Even some people would really ask me, is there even a connection between sports and faith? So it was really a hard thing for me, but I prayed for it. And to tell you honestly, when I went to the US, when I met you guys, when I met so many people in the Global Congress last year, my desire and my passion to really talk about sports, the intersection of sports and faith in the context of the Philippines and possibly in future Asia, really, really grew. So I could say this, my life as a seminarian back then and now as in the academe, and my passion for sports really, really grew throughout the time, especially in my experience as both a professor in my university at the same time as a passionate person when it comes to sports, especially basketball. I'm really passionate about basketball, just like majority of the Filipinos.
Well, that's fantastic, Hanson. Of course, basketball is the best sport. I think that's become clear on earlier episodes that we've had of Sport Faith Life. And even if Brian reluctantly agrees, he does agree. He knows that that's a wonderful, a wonderful activity and has great experiences playing basketball, not just in the Philippines, but in the U.S. as well. So let's get a little bit more specific here. The research that you're doing, the work that you're doing, you've completed a dissertation recently, right? So you are well on your journey in the academic life. Can you talk a little bit about the dissertation process, the topic, what you studied?
Yeah, sure. So just for the sake of information, by the way, I am currently in a Catholic university, the University of Santo Tomas here in the Philippines. I am a full-time Catholic, a full-time professor in theology. At the same time, I'm also a researcher in interdisciplinary work, especially in my department. I think I'm the only one who focuses on the intersection of faith and sports. So I'm trying to get people to do it with me and so on and so forth from time to time. Well, secondly, I would like to thank God first, of course. I finished my dissertation. It's really hard. It's really, yes. Really hard. Well, yes. It took me a year to write it, and I just finished it last February. And I'm just happy to finish it. So regarding my dissertation, actually my dissertation is entitled Articulating the Virtue of Hope in the Lived Experiences of Filipino Thomasian Student Athletes in the Light of Pope Benedict XVI's Spes Salve. So it's quite long. So just to clarify, when I talk about Thomasian here, I mentioned Thomasian in the title. This refers to the students of my university whom my study is focused. And in this dissertation, I argue that the virtue of hope should not only be discussed in an abstract doctrine. So, but it must be also reflected in the concrete experiences of young people, especially in this case, the student athletes, who faced constant pressure in their training, their competitions, problems, both personally and academically. They also have failures and so on and so forth. However, in my dissertation, I am very careful to clarify that this does not measure the virtue of hope, because we know that the virtue of hope is immeasurable. No? What I focus instead is how the expressions and fruits of this hope becomes visible in the stories and narratives of student athletes. So, Brian, Chad, for 1 year, I talked with a number of student athletes. With the sports, they are what, volleyball players, basketball players, some even are chess players, some are beach volleyball players. So it's quite diverse. I started with a simple presentation of my dissertation to them, and after a few meetings with them, I discovered a beautiful things from their narratives and from their stories, which I could say a very humbling discovery, because their narratives, their stories, helped me also as a person, especially in understanding the virtues that we have in our lives. For example, when they faced setbacks, when they faced injuries or disappointments, because of their hope in God and because of their anchored in faith and fueled with love, they see these instances, these disappointments that they have as experiences to deepen their faith in God. So for me, it's really beautiful. Because of their faith, because of their hope in God, they feel that they are not abandoned. Now, instead, they see it as a place or it as an avenue for them to be better, to be a better follower of Christ. For them, through faith and through God's plan, many of them were able to see the difficult moments as moments that could deepen their faith and, of course, bring them closer to God. However, Brian, Chad, this does not mean that this virtue, the virtue that we have, does not remove pain, it does not remove fear, it does not remove the pressures that these student athletes experience. Rather, because of their trust in God, because of their hope in God, they view these challenges differently, which amazingly, as I could see it, gave them strength to continue. And here in the Philippines, if you're a student athlete in one of the big universities, the pressure is really, really great. Because in the Philippines, life is hard. Economically, life is hard here. And for many student athletes, to have a scholarship in these universities means an avenue or an opportunity for their lives to be better, to help their families in the future, to feed their families in the future. So, I mean, the weight of the pressure for the student, most of the student athletes from the provinces, is really great. And their faith in God really fueled them to continue, especially when difficulties come to their lives. At the same time, I also discovered, if you allow me, Brian and Chad, to continue, of course, if you don't have questions.
Yes, of course. Yeah,
I also discovered that the second point in my discovery is that Filipino, of course, we are, I hope you know, here in the Philippines, we are very relational people. We are very family-oriented. We love our community. We love our families. And in my research, I found out in the narratives and stories of the student athletes, their families, primarily their families, plays a large role in their faith, in the development of their faith and in their trust in God. Because it is from their family that they will often hear the words in Tagalog, may awa ang Diyos, kapit ka lang sa kanya. Parents would say that. To translate that in English, it would basically mean God is merciful. Just trust in God, whatever happens to you. So for me, the support of the community, the support primarily of their family, especially in the context of faith, is really, really important in the development and in the view of the student athletes and how they face the obstacles in their lives as a student athletes here, which eventually leads to the third point of my dissertation, which focuses on the transformation, the spiritual and moral transformation of student athletes because of their faith, because of the reminders from their teammates, from their coaches, from their families. This led them to be a better version of themselves spiritually and morally. So basically, because of their faith, because of their hope in God, they see things differently. They listen to their parents, and at the same time, they are transformed to be better persons. Not only better student athletes, because that's a separate thing, but for me, I could see it in their narratives, in their stories, because of their faith, because of their trust in God, because of their hope in God, they became a better version of themselves as a person, as a Christian. So I think that's it. So basically, that was my dissertation. And yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, thanks for that, Hansen. I just want to encourage and affirm, when I went to the Philippines, the overwhelming amount of hospitality was earth-shattering in some ways, right? The embrace of the community of us as visitors was shocking on some level. So just very accommodating, very hospitable, and you could tell that it's built in, deeply into the culture to serve others and to be hospitable in what felt like a very biblical form. I love that you're a theologian and that you're taking an interest in sports. So I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit here. And yeah. I want to see if, like, I just love, even if your dissertation wasn't about this, because I'm intrigued by this virtue of hope. If you're a basketball fan, potentially you have paid attention to the NBA.
Right? Yeah.
So, sure. Right. So the NBA draft just happened a couple of weeks ago, right? And what they do is they'll draft a player, and that player will come up, they'll interview that player, and everybody answers the same way. And they talk about overcoming obstacles, and they talk about believing in themselves. So it feels very often like it's this total belief in self. And so you could call that hope in some ways, where it's like hope is sometimes poorly translated into optimism or self-belief. And so what is Christian hope? How did you define Christian hope? And is it the same thing that we see in sport? Because this idea, they're constantly... like it's self-belief, self-belief, self-belief. And that doesn't seem very Christian.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Brian. So in my dissertation, when you talk about this virtue of hope, this theological virtue of hope, this Christian view of hope here, the origin, the aim, the goal is always God and to be with Him. And this view purifies whatever we do in life, purifies... how we see life, how we see things, even how hard it is, even suffering, it challenges us. It purifies this understanding of things around us, and it leads us to something better. And that something better is to be with God in the future. And this is primary. You're right. Actually, you're right. It's a contrast. It's very different to the common understanding of hope, that focuses only on the self, who translate this only as mere optimism, motivation, some would say motivation or optimism. But this kind of hope that I saw in the lives of the student athletes that translated to their narratives and and in narratives and their stories is that it is anchored in faith. It focuses not only on themselves, but it is fueled by the love of Christ. And because they have that conviction, they see things differently. The aim, the goal, the origin of this hope is no other than God. And it's very, I mean, for me, it's very interesting in the lives and stories of these student athletes, especially in general in the Philippines, because many Filipinos are somehow, they have this view already, but only a few understand this clearly. Because when you visited here, Brian, in the Philippines, you have seen the spirituality, the level of spirituality for Filipinos. Filipinos and spiritual. Every day in our lives, we are very deeply spiritual people. So we are faithful people. Mm. And some are already doing or already applying this kind of hope in their lives, but they're not aware of it. So I think that's my job here in the Philippines. Mm. But then again, you're right. It's not motivation. It's not optimism. The hope that I'm talking here is rooted, origin, the goal is God. And that's it. Thank you for that, Brian.
This is why your research is so important, Hansen. And dissertation is generally sort of an early key stepping stone towards the life of an academic and further research. And so tell us a little bit about the work that you are planning on doing, the work that you're doing now that you have completed the dissertation. Where is your research taking you now?
Well, actually, after my dissertation, I have a series of papers also. But again, it is focused on the intersection between sports and faith. But of course, in the context of the Philippines. And just to give you an overview, a very short overview of what I've been working, sooner it will be published. It talks about interfaith, a Catholic exploration of sports as a venue for dialogue and hopeful solidarity. So that actually is the title. It is focused. I've done this with a colleague of mine, Professor Arvin Ibalio, and basically it talks about sports as an avenue for interreligious dialogue in a very pluralistic society like the Philippines when it comes to religion. Sports can be the first step towards dialogue. It could build trust. It could abolish prejudice and stereotypes before you talk about theological things. No? So our suggestion in this paper is, why not play basketball first before you talk about theological things? I think that
Amen.
Would help.
Amen.
That would help in the Philippines. I mean, in the Philippines, for example, because majority plays basketball. Okay, so basically that is the paper that we are working on, and I hope it will. I mean, I know it will be published soon, but I don't know yet when. So that's it.
Hansen, it was so fabulous to meet you at the last Global Congress. You just kind of buoyed our senses. You mm-hmm. said, I have heard you on the podcast, and I thought, somebody's listening? That's fabulous. And somebody is from the Philippines, which is really encouraging and exciting. And you've got your Sport Faith Life shirt on. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. So I love that. Thanks so much for just encouraging us in that process. But also, it's just exciting to see that you are finding ways to follow this avenue in an area where it's just not encouraged or it's just getting started. And so I think you're a pioneer. I think you are moving in a direction, and don't worry if people aren't following right away. We are. And eventually things will grow in the Philippines as well. So I think that this is fabulous work. Wonderful to talk to you. Wonderful to get to know you. Can't wait for many future conversations and to see you at the next, hopefully, Global Congress in Vancouver. A few years from now. thanks for coming on the show, Hansen.
Yeah, thank you for that, Brian, Chad. But to tell you honestly, both of your podcasts really helped me when I started this passion of mine. And even until, I think I already told you, when I go to the gym, when I run, I always listen. Instead of music, I listen to your podcast. So I finished all the... I finished all your podcasts a long time ago.
even the early ones 4 or 5 years ago where we were incredibly awkward. Okay, thanks so much. Okay.
Thank you for that. Thank you for having me, Chad, Brian. Yeah.
Hope to see you soon. Great to talk with you, Hansen, and all the best to you in your future work. And let's just stay in touch.
Thank you. Bye.